Good afternoon. So we gather on this seventh Sunday of Easter, and as the Easter season draws near to a close, I think it would be helpful if we just pause and look and use the Gospels of this season as kind of a lens in order to understand what the risen Lord was trying to teach and how he was trying to comfort his disciples. So keep in mind that their closest friend, Jesus, was crucified. He died on the cross. 3 days later, his tomb was empty, and the disciples were told that he was risen, whatever that meant to them. And then for the next few weeks, he appears to them and to talk, to teach, and to eat with his disciples. These are the post-resurrection stories that we've been listening to over the past 6 weeks, which kind of woven together give us some great insight to how Christ is explaining what it's like to be in relationship with him and with the Father, what it's like to be a disciple of Christ, and what it's like to be in communion with him. 2,000 years later, or I think our problem is that we make it more complicated and more ego-centered and more difficult than it really is. So just take a quick look. For the Sunday right after Easter, Mercy Sunday, we heard Christ ask his disciples to go forth and to forgive others just as he had done. Following week, the risen Christ appears to the travelers on the road to Emmaus, where he breaks open the scripture about him. And for their eyes were open then to the presence of Christ and the breaking of the bread. And Good Shepherd Sunday, we're told that Christ knows each and every one of us, and that he will never abandon us, even those that we feel don't belong to the flock. And 2 weeks ago, we heard the famous passage of the vine and the branches, reminding us of our connection to God and our need for dialogue and prayer to ask for what we need. And just last week, we heard the gospel where Christ makes it clear that we are chosen by him, each and every one of us, just as we are. See, Christ is telling us that discipleship, and thus right relationship, is one filled with forgiveness and with mercy. For we're already connected to Christ. We're grafted to him. The relationship is inclusive. No one's left out. Christ knows everything about us, and despite that, not only loves us, but as we heard in today's gospel and the second reading, he's in union with us and with God, deeply in love. For we were already created deeply spiritual. In short, we're connected, we're known, we're forgiven, we're loved, and we are fed. That's what brings us here this evening, to be fed. And this connection, this inner dwelling of the risen Christ is one reason why we've had these first communions during the Easter season. And over the past weeks, we've enjoyed seeing these wide-eyed kids come up to receive the sacrament for the first time, to receive the true presence of Christ in body and blood. You know, I think for some of us, we lose some of that awe-ness of what we receive each time we come up to this table. Sometimes I think we take this relationship with Christ for granted. And for some, Eucharist begins to take on a different sense. It kind of becomes a reward, something we earn, or a measurement of who's worthy, as if any of us are. We wrap our ego around the Eucharist, and thus we miss the whole point. It's a gift from God, so that we can be fed, so that we can be nourished, so that our hunger can be satisfied. For at the institution of the sacrament, Christ did not say, think about this, or fight over this, or stare at this, or even worship this. He said, eat this, and do this time and time and time again, and remember me. St. Augustine wrote that we are what we eat, and we receive what we are. In essence, we eat the body of Christ so that we know that we are what we eat, so that we know that we are also the body of Christ. Thus, if you listen carefully to the gospel, it can actually open your eyes in a new way and turn your view of spirituality upside down. John gives us this rattled description of mutual indwelling each of us have with God, the divine dance of God and Christ and Spirit, and us all being one. It's a Franciscan theologian who once said, for the most part, our thinking is backwards as it relates to spirituality. For we believe we are born human, spending our lives trying to become spiritual. Actually, we're born spiritual. And it was God who sent his only Son so that we may learn how to become human, how to treat one another, how to forgive one another, and how to love one another. All of which we heard in these Easter Gospels. Soon my niece, who lives in Annville, Pennsylvania, will celebrate a new birth. Will be the beginning of a new generation for my extended family. During the first year of life, babies are great models of right relationship to their parents. They're filled with love and acceptance and awe, where there's no need for anything to be earned by the child. Soon after, though, child rearing takes place in earnest and becomes necessary for the child to learn hot versus cold, yes versus no, and so on. And soon, formal education takes over, and we are taught that in order to succeed by some measurement in the first half of life, we must study, and we must achieve, and we must gain merit. So the challenge is that many of us take that same model, and we translate it to our spiritual lives, and we bring it to this Eucharistic table. We spend time focusing on what we feel we need to do in order to earn God's love, or what we need to do to make God happy. Whereas the motto we should follow is the one enjoyed in the first few months of life, and that is, God simply present to us, with us, in us, and there's nothing we need to do to earn it. Rather, we just have to allow it to happen. We need to open our eyes to the fact that we already have what we often seek. See, that is truly the good news for today. We make up the body of Christ, and thus God desires to be in relationship with all of us. So wherever you currently find yourself, you don't have to wait until you have more time. You don't have to wait until you make a confirmation. You don't have to wait till the kids are grown. You don't have to wait until you start sinning less. You don't have to wait until you feel like you can pray better. You don't have to wait for anything anymore. See, God's ready now. How about you?